Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of our day. It's an honor for us to have you here. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, but you already knew that, didn't you? My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, which is free. It comes by email every Sunday, and the blog comes by Real Simple Syndication if you want us to send it to you, or you can just come and get it, and you can come and get all the other stuff there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including all the wisdom and the brilliance that Joan Pride has deposited with us over the years. She's our good friend. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's with us right now. Joan, welcome back.
Hey there, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be back.
Well, it's a dream come true, too, isn't it?
For you, sure.
Joan had a great week in Washington, D.C. last week with small
business. I'm sure you did. It was a great week.
It was magnificent weather.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
For arranging that.
We try.
Just had a wonderful time whooping it up on behalf of small business. My annual pilgrimage to celebrate Small Business Week. We just had a great time, and I love Washington, D.C.
It's a great town.
It is, isn't it?
It sure is.
It annoys me when people diss it because I don't know why. Actually, the only people I know who diss it are the people who live outside of Washington.
Which is everybody else.
Which is everybody. No, I mean right outside of Washington.
Oh, I understand. You know,
some people just don't. They don't even like to go to the sea. But I love it. I love being there. Joan, let's talk about page one on the Kiplinger letter this week. It's all about regulations, isn't it?
And we're saying look for a burst of them.
A burst
but
of regulation.
That's not
See,
a
I
bad
like
thing.
That.
I know this sounds like it would be a bad thing, but it's really not.
Any regulation, even pro-business regulation, is a bad thing.
You think so?
I don't like any regulations.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm against all of them.
Okay.
No, seriously, it always makes me nervous when the government is talking, or especially when the agencies are promulgating regulations. Because I always feel like small business is going to get it on the chin.
Well, I suppose, but not necessarily.
Well, give us an example. What's coming up? What do you say? What kind of a burst of regulations are we going to have?
Well, let's see. Well, we're saying, for example, less red tape for auto manufacturers.
All right. Not a lot of small business auto manufacturers out there.
True.
But it could filter down to the small business suppliers because we do small businesses do a lot of work. There are a lot of small manufacturers out there who make parts, little tiny plastic parts and things like that for the big companies.
Right. Well, how about this one? Reduced record keeping on your personnel.
We like that.
Okay, that's, I guess there's record keeping that you need to have on hand for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission,
right,
but they're cutting back on that.
Yeah, that's good.
How about simplified safety training requirements?
Boy, howdy, could we use that?
Sure, see.
This is not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, see.
I thought this was going to be painful, Joan.
Right.
This doesn't hurt at all. In fact, I'm feeling much better already.
There you go.
I'm getting much better. to quote Monty Python. You know, what else, Joan? Give us a couple more, and then I'm going to wade in on a couple of thoughts.
Here's something interesting. More wetlands development. We're saying private developers will be encouraged to join in this, credit training. You can trade your credits if you don't need them, so someone that does need them can use them and then do the development that they want to do.
So there's like this marketplace for wetlands.
Yeah.
the emissions. Kyoto Accords.
Yes.
People could actually trade emissions with other countries.
Right. Emissions credits, right.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, human beings will find a way to trade in anything.
Right.
So what you're saying is that if somebody has a wetlands that they don't want to develop and somebody else has some that they do want to develop, they actually can barter those back and forth?
That's what I'm saying.
Very interesting. Now, I'm going to go back. Now, you're going to be surprised to hear me say this, Joan, probably, because you know that I'm not a tree hugger. Although
no.
I love trees, and I mean I'm
you just
not,
don't
I'm,
hug them.
I'm probably a closet greenie, Joan, but you know I love wetlands. What I don't like is when somebody turns something I don't like it when they try to make something that's not there. This is not just about wetlands, but like the spotted owl thing or the beach mouse or whatever. I know people who lost a fortune because some greenies said that there was a beach mouse in this one place, and it turns out that wasn't true. It was proved to be wrong. Before the people lost all their money.
Ooh.
And so, you know, and I know that that's not on the wetlands topic, but it's the same kind of thing.
Sure.
People are designating a wetlands that maybe isn't really a wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing, Joan, that I hope that some of these things that you're talking about, at least from a small business standpoint, I want to believe that it's because of two groups that are part of the SBA. And one of them is the Office of Advocacy.
That's right.
And the other is the Ombudsman's Office at the SBA. Both of those guys, in the form of different human beings, have been on the show. Both of those groups have been on the show many times before. And what's interesting about that little 1-2 punch there at the SBA, Joan, is that the Office of Advocacy has George Bush put some new teeth in that office, meaning that anything that could affect small businesses in the form of a law that the Congress would pass has to be approved by the Office of Advocacy.
That's right.
And so that's it at its inception. And then, as you know, the Ombudsman's Office is the one that deals with things where they have to remediate problems, where there's already a law in existence, but it's hurting small businesses.
Right, right.
So that's definitely a good thing that the government and that the SBA is helping.
Oh yeah, well, and the Office of Advocacy, as you know, is up on the Hill all the time, testifying and sending letters to Congress and to the regulatory agencies and warning about maybe unintended detrimental effects to small businesses.
Absolutely.
On a variety of regulations.
Tom Sullivan is the chief over there. He's the chief counsel at the Office of Advocacy. Chad Moutre is the chief economist. And Chad does a lot of research, folks. If you want to know more about small business research, some statistics on small business, I'll give you that website when we come back after these messages. It's really good information that I think will open your eyes on some things. We're going to be right back with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after. Little Steely Dan for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And folks, when we went to the break, I told you we were talking, Joan and I were talking about the new regulations and how things are going to change, or how things may be changing for regulations. And I mentioned that I was going to give you a good website, and here it is. It's sba.gov/ADVO. That's short for advocacy. And so ADVO after SBA.gov with a slash. Check that out. And if you want to find out about some of the research that Chad Moutre there, the chief economist there, has done, you can get all that there if you want. Joan, I want to come back to and remind people about some statistics. You were talking about how that maybe the regulations were going to be a little bit more business friendly. Some of the new versions of regulations were going to be a little more business friendly.
Yeah.
I don't know about GM friendly and AT&T friendly and et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of small business owners, we need more friendly. We need friendlier regulations. And here's why. Part of the research that you'll find at that website, Joan, is the fact that small businesses spend on average over $7,000 per employee per year complying with regulations.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's more than double.
I had no idea.
That's more than double what the big companies pay per employee per year. For two reasons. And one is because they have more employees to spread it over.
Right.
And number two, they have at their level, they're a lot more efficient with it than we are, and with their size. And so it's very, very oppressive for us. And here's the bad news, Joan, and this is why I'm always glad to have hope that it's going to get simpler. When I first started reporting on this probably 7 or 8 years ago, that number was about 6,000.
Oh, wow.
It's gone up over $1,000.
Gee.
Yeah. And so and you can find how they do. You can find their methodology right there on the website on how they do all that. So it's pretty rough. And Joan, what I worry about, I don't worry so much about what Congress passes. I worry about what the departments, the bureaus promulgate, how they promulgate those laws.
Well, sometimes, you know, Congress doesn't spell out everything at once.
That's
and
right.
That leaves way too much wiggle room for the departments.
And the way they and the people who are doing the wiggling don't answer to electorate.
That's right.
You know what? And they're in the bowels of some big building, and we don't know what's going on. And that's the reason why, folks, I'm glad to know that there's somebody out there like Tom Sullivan
right.
and Chad Moutre who are advocating for you and me. Joan, let's move over. And did we get all the regulations in there? Let's move over and talk about crude oil.
Okay. Oh, do we have to? I'd really rather not. Let's
well,
get
I know.
This part.
I know, but it's getting ugly, isn't it?
I know.
Give us the news.
Well, how high? I haven't checked, in the last couple hours. How high are we up per barrel now?
Over 70.
Oh.
The highest dollar amount for a barrel on record, right?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Not the highest in terms of real dollars. In terms of inflation-adjusted dollars.
And interestingly enough, this says over $70 a barrel by May. I think we're already there, aren't we?
No, we're over. Yeah. We're already there. We got there a couple of days ago.
So I think we need to update our forecast already.
Well, of course, the issues we're working off of are a few days old. But
but that shows you how serious the situation
exactly.
is if we can be out of date after just a few days
right.
on something like that.
Right. What did you guys report to us a year or so ago? That in inflation-adjusted dollars, the highest number prior to this was back in the late 70s, I guess.
Yes, at that point, we still had not, even though the number sounded high, we still had not breached the inflation-adjusted level.
Right.
But now I think we have.
Well, no, the inflation-adjusted level, I think, has got to go to $90. I think that's what you told us. You guys reported to us, Kiplinger did a while back, that number's got to go to about 90 in order to be the highest in terms of inflation adjusted. I think that's right. Are you saying otherwise?
No, I just don't have the memory that you have.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid I do. But I just remember. Listen, I absorb everything Kiplinger says, and
apparently you do.
I believe it and lock it in. but still, Joan, that's cold comfort when people are paying $3 a gallon for gas.
That's true.
That doesn't make anybody feel better knowing that it's not as high as it was and that that the only good news, Joan, and this is good news, and I congratulate small businesses for this. And Americans for this. As a percent of GDP, petroleum is less of a requirement. We use less oil, less petroleum per dollar of GDP today than we did 20, 30 years ago.
Well, that's an interesting statistic, I think.
And all of my economists say that. And see, Joan, that's why whenever the price is up as high as it is, and we look around and say, my goodness, why aren't we in a recession? It's because of that.
That's why.
Yeah. But it's still the oxygen of the marketplace, petroleum, isn't it?
That's true.
Crude oil. And so, and Joan, here's what's scary. We haven't even gotten into the summer driving season when prices
go up. Well, that's why we said over 70 by May.
Yeah. And Joan, I guess you saw what the retiring Exxon president took with him, right?
The
No, I don't want to even talk about
$400
that.
$400 million.
I said I didn't want to talk about it.
He walked off with. Yeah. Quick break. Right back. We got a lot more to come with our good friend Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. The smartest guy in radio at your service. Joan Pride is the smartest person I know, ladies and gentlemen. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, you guys have got a pretty smart website too, don't you?
Absolutely.
I like it. Kiplinger.com, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R. I encourage everybody to check it out when they can because it's an important website and one that I use regularly. And I even used it, Joan, before I could get back into the bowels of the website where I could really kind of see what some of the details of what you guys are writing, which you can do now, folks. Anybody can do that. There's a free site. But then if you want to go back to get some of the heavy stuff, all you got to do is be a subscriber to one of their publications. And the Kiplinger letter is what we work off of every week. That comes weekly on Friday. You'll get it Friday by email or Monday by snail mail. I get it both ways. And that's the one that's been around since 1923. And then they got three biweekly letters, Joan. There's a tax letter.
Right.
Agriculture letter.
Yes.
And a California letter.
That's right.
And those come every other week.
Yes.
And depending on if those are areas that you're interested in, you can subscribe to those. And then on the newsstand, you can get a magazine, Joan, right? And also by subscription.
You bet. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And many of you know about that. You're traveling going through the airports, you'll see the newsstands or other places. And Joan, have they still got the Blasingame 30-day free trial?
No question about it.
So just call her there and tell them that Jim Blasingame.
We don't advertise it that way because we're afraid of a kind of a stampede.
You don't want to exactly. Yeah. Well, you don't want people. You don't want to overload your bandwidth, Joan.
Exactly.
On the website. There.
We don't want to crash the website.
Exactly. So when you call, if you call though, and ask for the Blasingame 30-day free trial, when they hang up on you, dial back and don't mention it the next time. But they'll give that to you, folks. So I hope you check that out when you get a chance. Joan, let's move over and talk about the economy. Interest rates are up 4.75 on the Fed funds, 7.75. What did I say? 4.75 on
yes.
Fed funds, and 7.75 on prime rate. That means small business owners who live in the world of prime plus borrow money at 8.75 and 9.75 and 10.75 sometimes, whatever the bank feels they need to charge for the risk that they're taking.
Right.
And I asked, Joan, I asked my Bill Dunkelberg, whom you know is the chief economist with the NFIB.
Oh, great guy.
A great guy. He's on the show every month. I asked him this week about that. And I said, does the Fed talk about small business in their meetings? He says, oh, yes, they do.
Oh.
I said, do they take into consideration that when they're trying to tame inflation with higher interest rates, that they're significantly hurting the group that creates over half the U.S. economy? He said, that's one of the big conundrums that they have.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to stop them.
Right, exactly. But he says that's one of the dilemmas.
Well, I hope it at least keeps them up at night.
I hope it worries keeps them up a lot at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he says he indicates that that's happening more and more.
Hmm.
And see, he is on the short list for one of the next positions there's actually one
Ooh.
Open right now that he's actually on the short list for. I don't know if he'll get it or not, but I would love to have a guy like Bill Dunkelberg sitting in on FOMC meetings.
That's right.
Because see, if he became the president of the Philadelphia Bank, which I know he would like to be able to take that job, and I'd like to see him take it. If he became the president, he would be on the FOMC in the FOMC meetings.
Right, that's right.
And he would be advocating for small business, and so
oh, definitely.
So I'm going to call my buddy Ben.
I think you should.
And and recommend that. Ben Bernanke.
Mr. Bernanke, yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm going to recommend him for that job. But they're fighting inflation, and you guys talk about inflation jitters this week, Joan. What's it looking like?
Well, we sure do. Now, but we're saying that inflation jitters are going to subside because U.S. economic growth is going to kind of cool down to something closer to 3%. Now, I know since we just talked about crazy oil prices, your listeners might feel a little whipsawed here, but it is true that we expect the economy to slow down a little bit, which would be nice, and also give the Fed a reason and an opportunity to stop the interest rate hikes.
When I asked Bill Dunkelberg if he was starting to get concerned about oil prices in terms of inflation,
yeah,
and I do that almost every time. Up until now, he hasn't been, but he says he's starting to be now.
Uh-oh.
He's starting to be concerned about it. And Joan, I think there is reason to be concerned, not just because of the supply and demand. There's a lot of unrest across the world. And so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Folks, be a good time to think about doing a little conservation. 20 till, we'll be right back. We got a lot more to come. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you can and use it to your advantage. Thank you, those of you who have been using it, and you've been using it in record numbers, and in the blog, too. You've been using our blog like crazy. I'm so happy to see that, because that was something I actually resisted, Joan. I actually resisted putting up a blog at first.
Well, you're older.
Well, exactly right. I'm a fossil, but I studied it and thought about it, and now I've learned, I understand the error of my ways. But Joan, the folks who visit our blog, which, by the way, you can get at the homepage at smallbusinessadvocate.com, or you can go directly there by going to jimsblog.biz. Joan, they use the blog at double the page per visit rate that they do the website.
Wow.
I don't know, I'm not sure why. I mean, we have a very high page per visitor ratio to the website.
Right.
Compared to what other people tell me that they have, but the blog page per visit ratio is double that. And so that's really, it's very exciting to me to see how people are using the new technologies, the new channels that people are using. So, folks, I hope you check that out when you get a chance. Joan, steel prices are headed up, there are going to be shortages there, and part of the reason is because of China is using a lot of steel.
Right.
One of the things that you point out is that this may also create problems. It will create problems for small and mid-sized U.S. manufacturers.
Right, and that's a real concern here. And we're saying, in fact, auto parts firms will be most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the last thing that the auto industry needs
now. That's right. You know, Joan, one of the things that I saw last week when I was in Washington was all of the small manufacturers who were represented as small business owners during the week. And when I was there for Small Business Week last week. And it's really exciting to me. There's a lot of manufacturing going on in small business in America. Small businesses are doing a lot of manufacturing, more than I think people realize.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. And I think that's going to be, I think that's where the manufacturing jobs are going to come from in the United States in the future. Not so much, they're going to continue to be big companies manufacturing here. But I think you're going to see more and more. In fact, Joan, I actually met somebody I didn't think I'd ever meet again.
Who?
2 weeks ago in Tulsa. Three weeks ago in Tulsa. I was speaking to the chamber over there. I met a young couple in their 20s who just started a new manufacturing company.
How about that? Wow, that's
not
cool.
Not only were they doing it, they were excited about it, and they found a niche, and they were going after it. And I really, I felt like I was watching a sprout come up out of the ground. You know what I mean? and breathing new life into the landscape.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Joan, let's move down and talk about business costs. Air travel has gone up, hasn't it?
It has, but historically we're not breaking records right now.
Still under this history. But Joan, for a guy who buys a lot of airline tickets, that's cold comfort.
Well, I understand that.
We're seeing some routes that we take double over where they were a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Whereas we might have gone, you know, to Tampa or Orlando or
right. Or
D.C. or somewhere like that with a direct flight for $225. It's double that now in some cases. And of course, part of it is a lot of it is fuel.
Right.
And I don't blame the airlines. I mean, they got to recover those costs. But I'm just saying that your point here is right on the money because airfares have really gone up. And it seems that the bigger group, the bigger companies, are just saying, you know what, these low fare carriers, they're just going to do what they're going to have to do. We got to recover our costs. We're already in bankruptcy.
Right.
We
can't come.
You know, got Delta and US Air and United. Of course, United's out now, but still, they've said we've got to charge what we got to charge.
Right.
So, Joan, you're, of course, I know that's a world you don't live in.
With my private jet,
with your
sure. Private
jet. So right. I know that's something you don't have to worry about too much.
Yeah, but oil prices are killing me, the jet fuel.
Exactly. Yeah, that's rough. Joan, let's move over and talk about the human capital box on page 3. What's this all about?
Gosh, we're finally getting to a good news item.
What's up?
Well, we're talking about engineers. We're saying that, you know, fears of a U.S. deficit in engineering are overblown at the moment. We're saying that we have, even though that there's a decline in the U.S. share of the science and engineering graduates, we're saying that we make better use of them. We may have fewer, but the quality is very high.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is a concern, though. But Joan, the thing about it is that, you know, I don't know. This doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me that engineers are being spread around the world. See, I don't think of India as competition. I don't think of China as competition. I think of them as customers.
Oh.
Either customers now or customers waiting to happen.
Right.
I like the idea of a global marketplace, Joan. I really do. I just back way up and take a big picture, big view of this,
yeah.
A broad view of it, because I'm telling you, I am an absolute fanatic about the wisdom of Frederick Bastiat. When he said, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
That's right.
I'd rather trade with China than fight with them. And if they keep their engineers over there so that they can do more business with us, and I don't have a problem with that. 10 till, we're going to be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame. Joan Pryde is our guest. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're talking with our good friend Joan Pryde, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, let's move on down and talk about what you guys call mobile marketing. Now, were you talking about cell phone advertising?
Well, we're saying that a small business with a phone or a PC can send text messages out to its customers.
Yeah, like email.
Pretty cool.
Like email marketing.
Yeah.
But isn't that spam, Joan? It doesn't have that had the potential for to be spam.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. See, this is going to be the challenge. We have the ability to, I mean, with the purchase of a list and a push of a button, you could send a message out to millions and hundreds of millions of email users. But
you could be irritating some of them.
You couldn't be. You would be because
right.
it'd be spam. And actually, this is against the law.
True.
Now. So you know, with the phone. See, I don't want you sending me a message on my cell phone.
Right.
I don't want that. And so some people may allow you to do that. And if they allow you to, then I think you'll take advantage of it. But I'm trying not to be a fossil here, Joan. I don't see a lot of opportunity for marketing through cell phones. Although what you guys are reporting on is the technology is coming or it's here, and the applications are going to be developed for that.
Right, exactly. But what we're saying is people aren't just going to want to see ads. They're going to want some kind of reward. So that's why you're going to have things like instant coupons and things like that.
Right. Well, the worst thing about it, though, Joan, is how are they going to – what information are they going to have? See, I don't want my cell phone it's bad enough that my email is in, on a bunch of lists because I've had an email for so long. You know, right. Somehow it's gotten out there. But I don't want everybody having my cell phone number. If that's what they have, then I think that's not a good thing.
I agree.
Let's talk about customized search engine technology. You guys are important. I'm really proud of you guys for doing this.
This is
really important. I think more small business owners should focus more on what the search engines have to offer them. And this new technology you guys talk about is, it may not be for everybody, but it gives us an opportunity to talk about how search engines can help small businesses.
Right. And I guess we're talking about two different brands here. One is called Zilab, and that starts at $7,000. Mm-hmm. Scans all company software for keywords.
Right.
Meanwhile, you've got Google's Mini for small businesses, which is cheaper at $2,000, but it has less security features than the Zilab version.
But the main thing that I'm glad you guys brought this up is let's talk about small businesses getting their websites customized and optimized for search engines so that when with whatever it is that you do, you know, if you may sell shoelaces, but there's 10 million links to shoelaces, but what you really want is people who want to buy shoelaces in Concord, New Hampshire. And you actually can put keywords in your search engine that will get people who only want to buy shoelaces in Concord, New Hampshire.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and you'll
so
be at the top
don't,
of their list.
Don't even though you can reach the world, don't try to do business with the world.
Right.
In some cases.
That makes sense.
So anyway, you can really focus your search engine optimization, and I encourage small business owners to get some help with that. And it doesn't cost $2,000 either, by the way, Joan. You can get folks to help you with that for less than that.
Oh, okay.
Postal hikes, Joan.
Oh, back to bad news.
Yeah, what's up?
Two more coming. January 1st, 2007, business mailers will get a 10% hike. And then first class stamps will go up to 42 cents. So don't go out running around buying a lot of 39-cent stamps because they'll be kaput at the beginning of next year.
This is not good for Kiplinger. You guys mail a lot of stuff, don't you?
That's true. And then January 1st, 2008, business mailers will get a 4 to 6% increase, and first class stamps will go to 44 cents.
At some point in time, Joan, just like when petroleum goes up, people start learning other ways to drive and to...
And they have been already.
And new technologies come out. It makes it affordable, et cetera. At some point in time, they're going to keep raising the prices on a letter.
I may be ditching the Christmas cards this
year. Well, you know what? We did that this year.
Did you?
We made some changes. We sure did. Yeah. We made some adjustments. And we added it all up, Joan, and we said, you know what? We should just, why should we send this out when we could donate it to somebody?
Right.
This is a big number. Let's donate to somebody.
Yeah.
Something to think about. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you, Jim.
Good job as always.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one. And as you know, this program is for you. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.